Welcome back to Tip TV Finance. I'm joined here by my co-host and lead inquisitor for this piece, Mr. Mike Ingram, strategist at BGC Partners, and our guest, Sean Richards from Not a Yes Man Economics. How are you today, Sean?
Good, thank you.
Right, the rebels have had a good 24 hours here on the, I suppose, as far as sterling and the Bank of England and all that sort of stuff, boxed into the corner, into a really tight corner, I would say, the BOE at the moment.
Yes, it's in a mess. You wouldn't believe it if you heard the sort of obsequious, crawling interviews on Radio 4. But in essence, Brent Baldwin at the Bank of England was sent out this week to try and explain why they eased into a currency fall. I mean, this is completely the opposite of conventional central banking theory and something I argued against at the time. Why not, when you have lags of around 18 to 24 months of monetary policy to work, why not wait a few months, let things settle? What they've now done is the pound's fallen, they've given it another push, and now they're in a mess.
Yeah, and to compound the policy error, and I think it was, I agree with you there, they seem to have pre-committed on a further rate cut by the end of the year. And I mean, I referred to in the show earlier that, you know, a Bloomberg poll of economists say 70, 75% of them think they're going to do just that, but the market's saying it's extremely unlikely.
Yeah, but they did pre-commit to some extent. Yeah. It's very difficult. I was involved in a thing on Moneybox on Radio 4 where, rather oddly, the ex-Bank of England economist said no when we were discussing it beforehand and then the S afterwards. And I thought that sort of sums things up, actually, that they can't...
Two-handed economist.
Yeah. Stereotypical, of course. But the issue is, plainly, should they? No. Should they have done the last one? No. Have they possibly, by what I call open-mouth operations, trapped themselves? Then that's not impossible. And then one of the best things you can ever do, I think, and I admire anyone that ever does it, is to simply put their hand up and say, that is going to be a mistake, so I'm not going to do it. But I don't see anyone with that sort of moral courage at the Bank of England to reverse course.
Well, Mark Carney's never shown any evidence of doing that, even when he, I think the technical term is ballsed up, QE1. It was just, this is a new phase in QE. It's called QE2. Because basically we didn't work.
In terms of forward guidance, I'm on mark 25 now on the number of U-turns that he's done along the way. And then it's quite difficult. And I think also a shame. Obviously, this gets tied up into the Brexit debate because people then fall into the two camps. But if you put that to one side, monetary policy's wrong. It looks like we're going to have an inflationary episode. That looks baked in for next year. Don't ease into that. Let things...
settle.
I think that central bankers these days suffer from a massive do-something philosophy. They charge in and then don't think about the consequences now. If all this worked, we wouldn't be having this conversation 8 years down the road, would we?
But why are there no checks and balances anywhere? I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, you are literally not a yes-man economics. You're the only person who's anywhere near the wheels of the media or in the spotlight who can actually say... Well, you might not have, the August move may not have been a good thing, or are you sure what you're doing? And, it must be quite frustrating for you, really.
In some ways, yes, in some ways, no. But just to say that, I did say before they did it, it was going to be a bad thing. But moving to the actual issues itself, getting things through the media, which I'm afraid has become increasingly one-eyed. And we had a lot of discussions over this on a week or two. People watching, listening to this, will have their own views. I'm afraid a lot of it is. And only presents one side of the debate. That's very unfortunate. So in that sort of environment, I'm pleased, to some extent grateful, for the opportunities to put an alternative view. In everything we look now, life is getting almost, well, if this was the 1930s, people are
called fascist. Totalitarian is the word I'm trying to find.
Well, fascist, totalitarian, whichever you want to put it.
I think totalitarian is rather more, I mean, it's rather less controversial, but it seems to be just, there's only one view allowed, and if you don't come up with that view, you are somehow... unpatriotic in all senses of the word. I mean, you are, you know, it's, but even, you know, you are, I mean, it's a bit like with the Remain thing. I mean, it threatens your job, it threatens everything else, it threatens, you know, you had to be really in polite society just on the pro-EU. But that's one thing, maybe that doesn't matter so much, but this, on these matters of policy, which are relatively simple, they're not really that contentious either. But even then, there's only one view allowed, which seems to be, even on a trivial matter, relatively trivial matter, how is it going to be sorted out?
Well, you can make progress on things like with inflation measurement. I've had success at the Royal Statistical Society. But I'll give you something that's come up this morning. It's been something I've covered for years. To give them credit, the Resolution Foundation published some work on it yesterday, but the average earning numbers, people would have been looking at those earlier, and everyone sends them round. What they don't know is they miss out the self-employed.
Yeah.
Actually, and I've gone back and looked at the original thing, they miss anything with less than 20 employees. So that's quite a range of the economy that's completely missed out. In the ivory tower of someone from the Bank of England, Martin Wheely's name is, when he did the review, he had pages of maths. That didn't seem to bother him at all. Mm. Now we arrive at the situation where there's quite a lot more self-employed. What's happened to them? Everyone will send those numbers out today and think, oh, this means something on a 0.1 change. Yeah, it misses so many people and it doesn't bother anyone. These are important things because we'll find out something. To praise the Resolution Foundation, and again, they don't have every particular number, but it looks like self-employed in terms of wages have had a really bad credit crunch. Changes things, doesn't it?
But a lot of these people effectively being forced to become self-employed, and I use that in inverted commas, because of the way that the, you know, claiming unemployment benefit or whatever, you've been given incentive to set up on your own, even though effectively that's not economically useful. And one can't help but feel that somehow that's impacting also the productivity numbers.
I think that it does.
It's shocking.
And it also comes in, again, as we talk in the messages, that the official messages is almost like you've never had it so good, the Macmillan line from the 50s, I believe. Well, yeah, but the point is that you get that. But then once you start digging a bit deeper...
It's the House of Lords is what you got, but...
digging a bit deeper, they're genuine questions against that. That's why people feel maybe it's not so good. So lots of people feel hard done by. Well, the truth is they are, except the numbers as ever. If you're a big fan of Yes Prime Minister like I am, in the 1980s they were saying the numbers don't tell the full truth, and it's true now.
So two quick questions. One, what do you think the Bank of England will do? Two, is Carney going to stay on? Is he going to confirm that he's going to keep on, or is it now actually looking like the jig is up or whatever?
In terms of the great gig in the sky,
yeah.
I think he's aiming for 2020 all along because that's when the IMF job comes up. Yeah. So I thought all along that's interesting. Now that's shuffled slightly, of course.
Yes.
There's a caveat here, which with this court case, Christine Lagarde's position could change. So he could yet find, he falls out the plane and there's a parachute and something could happen there. Apart from that, I think he intends to stay. As to November, not very far away, that the Bank of England definitely shouldn't. I think there's one or two we can figure that would vote no. I've got some hope for Christine Forbes. She's shown signs of being bright. Whether they'll be overrun by Carney's cronies, I fear that they might. But I definitely would expect at least one or two to vote no in November. Christine Forbes, I said, I've got the most hope for. Yeah. Maybe one or two others, because they definitely shouldn't.
Because they rolled back to 9-0 again last month. So what do they go? They go 6-3. Oh, right, we shouldn't have done it last time, but now you have done it. I'm going to acquiesce.
That's very odd. Even in Japan,
6-3 again, and then 9-0 into next year.
Even in Japan, with the face culture, some have maintained votes against the actual easing going on at the Bank of Japan, which for them is extraordinary. Very different culturally to us.
Yes.
For that, as I said, having just praised Christine Forbes, that's just very disappointing. How do you say no to something?
Spines.
And then next month, you say yes to it continuing. You have to say no again, don't you?
Spineless sack. It's spineless.
Unless you have some sort of reason for changing your mind, then the answer would be no, as I would vote.
Monetary conditions eased even further in between those two meetings. So
I would vote each month no.
Yeah.
To all of it.
I'm quite happy to buy both of you a pint before the end of the year on the basis that Carney will resign by December the 31st.
You think he will?
He's got to go. I mean, he should have gone, really. It was the easiest thing would have been to go when his sponsor left. George Osborne. But really, this is, and then saying, I'm not taking any cues from politicians. I mean, really. I mean, that's,
well, he does. Now that's technically wrong because each year his mandate gets set by the Chancellor. I think March, springtime.
Yeah.
And that has been shuffled a bit, actually. Now, it doesn't. That gets very little media attention. But the inflation target's been downgraded. And the euphemism is support of government policies, a.k.a. economic growth's got upgraded.
So he does
take instruction every single year. It's something I've argued for in the past.
But the fact that he said that he won't take instruction means he's lost his mind.
Well, I mean, well, it's simply untrue because once a year he gets that. Secondly, actually, for once, I almost agree with him. And what I mean by that is, when you get the mandate each year, if you have some moral fibre, there's times you should say no. Like when we switched inflation target to CPI, it's easing.
I'm not sure we want a person who almost agrees with the Bank of England governor.
Well, no, you can, but you can agree for different reasons.
Then.
You see, and I don't always disagree. There you go.
No, that's good. That's good. Open mind. We like that sort of thing. Sean Richards from Not a Yes Man Economics. Thank you very much for coming in today. We'll be back after the break.